down just yet. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Because see, what we want to, this, we are an honoring church. We love to honor. And in this moment, in this hour, we're going to honor the one to whom our God has sent. And that's our very own minister, our mother of the house, Anita Traylor. Hallelujah. 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 Stretch your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you, Father. We come with open hearts and open minds, Father. Father, to hear the very words to which you've sent through your servant, your friend, your daughter, Father. Father, we pray even now, Father, that you would increase the very anointing and the very word to which you placed deep within her, Father. May it come forth like a mighty rushing wind, Father, in the name of Jesus. For we come, Father, that we might be with you, that we might see you, and that we might hear you, Father. Hide your servant behind the cross, Father, that as she decreased, Father, that you would increase within her, Father. That is no longer your servant, but your very word that goes forth, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we all said, amen.
I'm on now. Well, good morning, church. So good to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm just excited about today. But before I read scripture or anything, first of all, I just want to just give honor to the pastor and our pastor and our beautiful first lady, just for this opportunity to stand before you today. Truly, I love them. I just thank God for everything that they have poured into my life. And I just count it an honor to just be in your presence today. And I'm so humbled to stand before you. And also just want to just thank my family and my friends that are here to support me on today. So I just want you all to stand, my family and my friends that came to support me today. Just stand on your feet. So to give the people a wave. This is my family and my close friends. I'm so happy that they are here today. My beautiful sister-in-law, when I got ordained, she saw to it that I had some towels. Minister Anita. Madge, I thank you for that. Because I need it already. I don't think these little tissues is going to make it today. But today is Pentecost Sunday. How many of you knew that? Hallelujah. So we're going to go right to the Word of God. Acts 2 and 1. Hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want you to just turn to the person next to you and just say, have you received since you believed? Well, if you haven't, I have a gift for you today. So some of the things that I want you to really pay close attention to, first of all, is the word Pentecost. Second is the word one accord, all filled, Holy Ghost, tongues, and power. First of all, the day of Pentecost, it says that the day that the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples of Jesus. Pentecost is the Greek name, also known Shavuot, which is the spring harvest festival of the Israelites, meaning weeks. This festival lasted for weeks, which was going on when the Holy Spirit came. So imagine that for a festival to be going on when the Holy Spirit came. And you know what I think about? How you know how we love to go to the fair, Campfield Fair. How many of you love to go to the fair? You know, I always go just to eat. I want you to know. And I think the majority of people do. But you know, my mind, I began to think about it. I said, the week of the festival is when the Holy Spirit came. So I could just imagine what was going on out there. And I'm gonna come back to that. But also it says Pentecost is a Christian holy day that celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit 40 days after Easter. But some Christian denominations consider it the birthday of the Christian church and celebrate as such. But it was originally known as a Jewish holiday, held 50 days after the Passover. Now, we know this calendar year, Easter fell April the 1st, and today is May 20th, and we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday, which is 50 days. Well, let's talk about the ascension of Jesus as he was preparing his disciples, getting them ready for him leaving. The narrative in Acts 1, it takes place 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus. So before Jesus returned to his Father, he promised his disciples to send a helper, a comforter, who would dwell inside his followers and empower them for ministry. Because I know the disciples, they were feeling some kind of way. You know, they had spent all this time with Jesus. And they were starting to wonder, Lord, what are we going to do without you? But he wanted them to just relax and just to know that he hadn't forgot about them and that he had prepared for the comforter to come. In John 14, 16 through 17, it says, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. It says that he dwells with you and he will be in you. You know, I get excited just knowing that he's with me. Because, you know, in this world that we live in, I don't see how people make it without him. Hallelujah, Jesus. It says that the Holy Spirit's coming was so important that Jesus instructed his disciples not to leave the city of Jerusalem or start their external ministry on their own. Because, you know, sometime, you know, when we got a testimony, a burning testimony, we automatically think that we called to preach. But Jesus, he wanted them not to be so anxious. He said, I need you to wait. I need you to stay in Jerusalem. And there was a reason for that. Oftentimes, we as believers, when we feel the call of God may be on our lives, many times we are ready to go and preach immediately. But God wants to prepare us. He wants to equip us. before he sends us out. And that is what he wanted for his disciples. And that is what he wants for you as well. Luke 24 and 49, it states, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry," which means to wait, "in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I was raised in the Pentecostal church, and that word tarry took on a whole new meaning. See, where I come from, we used to have Friday night service, and it was called Friday night tarry service. And if you wanted the Holy Ghost, you showed up. But, you know, I thank God for my roots. I thank God for being raised in a holiness church. And it was something that happened when I was about 14 years old. The wind of God came through Bethel Church of God in Christ, where the youth, all the youth, had accepted the Lord as their personal Savior. We were hungry for God. And we wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I tell you something, those church mothers, oh yeah. Those church mothers, they wanted to make sure that you got it. You know, we used to be at the altar, and we'd be, "Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you." And I mean, they'd be in our ear, and I mean, they were saying, "Call his name, call his name." We was calling his name, "Say it faster." I was saying it faster. "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Then my tongue got twisted, so I thought that was it. I said, "Oh boy, I got it." My godmother, known as Mother Sally Hall, she's gone on to be with the Lord. She said, "You ain't got it yet." So I begin to tarry some more. But you know what? I really believe, you know, that God had placed the mothers in the house because they knew that it was going to take more than just saying that you were saved. They knew that you needed the Holy Ghost. So it says here that the Son of Man had to be glorified, and God is glorified in him. So the Son of Man had to be glorified before the Holy Spirit took place. It then says later in Matthew 28, chapter 18th verse, Jesus tells the disciples, you know, he's getting them ready. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He said, "I want you to go ye therefore and teach all the nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world." So the thing is, we just have to trust God. You know, we all have an assignment to do. But he lets us know that we don't have to do this assignment alone. Now, what we find in these two texts, four very important words: go ye and tarry ye. Jesus said, "I want you to go," because it's very important that you do go. He said, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are few." You know, many people, they don't want to go out in the field anymore. But he said, "The sheep are scattered." He says, "Please go, but before you go to preach," he says, "tarry to pray." Luke 18:1, it says that men ought to always pray and not faint. So before you go behind the pulpit, you need to tarry behind the closet door. So before you go to win others, you need to tarry until I can win you. Because first of all, it starts with us. So Jesus, he knew the importance of them being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it was essential because of the call and the commission that was placed on the disciples' lives. So they needed the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide them into all truth so they would be able to carry on the gospel of Jesus Christ and to continue to do the works that Jesus did. Now, we live in a day and time, as I said before, that no one wants to wait. We want everything now, everything. You know, my son, who's not here to defend himself, so I can talk about him. But, you know, when he was growing up, he just wanted everything, you know. He didn't know the meaning of wait, you know, and that was my husband's fault. And but, you know, we used to tell him, you know, some things, you know, it has to come in God's timing. You know, and a lot of times, you know, things that you may have been praying about, things that you may have been seeking God about, God has heard your prayers, and he loves you, and he cares about you. But sometimes it's in his timing. So it's just like, you know, when you were a child, you know, when you were a child and you got that tricycle, you know, I don't know about you, but on Christmas when I saw that tricycle under that tree, oh, my God, I said, oh, I'm ready now. I got my tricycle. But, you know, then after a while, that tricycle, you no longer want it, you know, because Johnny down the street got the two-wheeler. So now you feel you need the two-wheeler. So, you know, now you start begging your parents, can I get the two-wheeler with the training wheels on it? So the thing is, though, you know, that bike, even though it has the training wheels on it, it still can do what you need it to do, okay? But you can still ride it, but you just can't ride it by yourself. You need those training wheels. So there's some training and practicing that needs to go on so you don't fall and hurt yourself. So how many of you know that's the same way it is in the spirit realm? Even though you've accepted God as your personal Savior, God has more for you because of the call that's on your life. But he wants you to be fully equipped. Look at the person next to you and say, fully equipped. So now you have the bike. You know, you're telling your mother and your father, I'm ready, I'm ready. Just take these training wheels off, I'm ready. So they take the training wheels off. Now, they're still not convinced that you're ready. So, you know, they hold on to the bike. Then they let you go. Next thing you know, you fall. But the thing is, you get back up. Like Donnie McClurkin said, we fall down, but we get up. So the thing is, now, once you get up and you keep trying, and now you can ride. And now you can even pop some wheelies on that bike. You know, you think you're making a lot of racket now. You know, on the street that I grew up on, the street was on a hill. It was Carroll Street. And boy, when you would get on that bike, we would ride down that hill. We would put our hands up and, you know, just thought we was hot stuff. You know, because we could ride. Yes, Mother Trailer used to be on that bike with her hands up. But the thing is, but when I was confident in knowing that if I fell, you know, that God was yet with me. And that's the thing, just knowing that God is with you. Let's go to Mark 10 and 35. It says that James and John, they came to Jesus and they said, Master, we would that thou should do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Now, you know, that took a lot of nerve. Yeah. Going to Jesus, telling him that we want you to do for us what we shall desire. So how many of you know that Jesus, the gentleman that he is, and it says in the scripture, Jesus, in his kindly manner, he replied. He said, what would ye that I should do for you? Now, Jesus already knew what they wanted, but he thought he would at least give them that option of asking. And the two brethren, they said, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. James and John, they were interested, though. They were more interested in the title of just saying that they were sitting on the side of Jesus. And so there are many, many, we know, many want that title. But Jesus, you know, being that he is just so gracious, you know, I don't even know exactly what his response was after that. But it says Jesus wanted to make sure that his disciples were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So do you need to receive the Holy Spirit? The answer from the scriptures is a resounding yes. The work of the Holy Spirit is to prepare us for God's kingdom. Hallelujah. It is through the Holy Spirit that the fruit of the Spirit spoken in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 comes to bear witness in our lives. It is by the Holy Spirit that we are able to be changed and transformed into the likeness of Christ, as Paul wrote. And we also see that it is specifically the Holy Spirit who changes us in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I'm telling you, if you don't have the Lord in your life, you can't be free. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. It says this is the primary work of the Holy Spirit, to change us and transform us so that we can learn to live a life guided by the power of God's love. We are going to be living with Jesus Christ one day and the Father someday, and we cannot live with them in holiness unless and until we are changed and transformed from the weakness and the evil ways of humanity into the perfection of the Spirit. That is the work that needs to be accomplished in every Christian. And it cannot begin until we have been baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit, it says that the Holy Spirit is not given to us for no reason. God does not say or do anything without a very good reason. You know, Pastor, he taught, I think it was a month ago, he taught about the motives of God. And everything that God does, he has a motive for why he does what he does. It says the Holy Spirit has a job to do in us. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, it's our counselor, it's our guide, it's our protector, it's our intermediator with God. The Holy Spirit, it opens up the Word of God. You know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, a lot of times it's even hard to even understand the Word of God. So it opens up the Word of God in the Bible to us so we can see the truth of God's kingdom. And the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf to the Father through speaking in tongues. You know, it's so important that we, as Christians, that we use our heavenly language when we're praying to God. And the reason that we do that is because the enemy, he cannot understand what we're saying when we're praying in our heavenly language. You know, so that's something that we should do on a regular basis. Begin to pray in your heavenly language. And the more that you pray in your heavenly language, the stronger you will become, the stronger that your tongues will become. When you pray in your heavenly language, it confuses the enemy. And we want him to be confused. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can learn how to walk in the Spirit, to overcome the evil passions and desires of our human nature. And how many of you know we live in an evil world today? You know, There used to be a time that, you know, our parents could send their kids to school. You know, you didn't worry about whether or not something was going to happen to your child. You know, but we living in a day and time now that you just don't know anymore. You know, it's, you know, people, when people have enough nerve to go into the house of the Lord, you know, and commit murder in the house of the Lord. You know, church, this is a time as never before that we need to really be seeking God. We need to really be asking God to lead us and guide us. We need to really be praying to God to fill us with His Spirit. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, it don't take all that. Let me tell you something, it take that and then some. They say, well, I just don't think all of that is necessary. Okay, well, you keep thinking that until havoc is knocking at your door. Then you're going to want somebody to pray with some power. Hallelujah. I know that I can do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts 1 and 5. It says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus, he was preparing the disciples. He says, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thee at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. We don't need to know everything. We just need to trust God. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now let's go back to Acts 2 and 1, where I had read, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that they were all on one accord in one place. Where's my musicians at? I need you right now. And suddenly, again, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Can you imagine the sound that was being created in the atmosphere? I mean, the wind was strong. The wind was mighty, and it filled all the house. And then there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Cloven means to be divided, means to be separated. So each one, the tongues fell on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God, He is so strategic, I'm telling you. And as I said before, He waited until they were all together under one roof in the upper room. Now, you know what? I don't believe that room was real large. But the Bible says that it was over 100 people that was in that room. Can you visualize it in your mind? They were probably worshiping God, singing praises unto God. It was important for everyone to be on one accord. You know, when we come into the house of the Lord and when worship is going on, we need to get on one accord. Because when you're on one accord, something begins to happen. Let's look at the meaning of one accord. It says if a number of people do something with one accord, they do it together or at the same time because they agree. They agree about what should be done. It means unanimously, without exception, by common consent, unitedly. So when you come into the house of the Lord, you should have one purpose in mind, and that is to lift up the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what's been going on all week. When you come into this house, You need to lift up your hands. You need to begin to worship God. Because your breakthrough is in your worship. Your breakthrough is in your praise. It says in Acts 2 and 44, it says, and all that believed, they were together and had all things common. All things common. Also in Acts 2, 5 and 7, it says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now you know they had to be on one accord to sell all their goods and all their possessions. Now that's a tall order to sell your possessions, to give them away. And I could hear some of you saying, now I was with you until you told me to sell all my possessions and give them away. I got to really see if God said that. You know, but they trusted Peter. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. How many of you know when you praise God that he is going to just pour out his favor on you? Because you are his child. We are his people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Just think about it. I mean, if we get behind the vision of this house, if we get behind the man and woman of God of this house and begin to really pray and begin to really seek God, think of the souls that will be saved. It is important that we are not divided in the house of God. And when we come together as one, things do begin to happen. So everyone, we want to continue to worship God, giving glory to the Most High God. They were obedient to God because they waited. They waited because God told them to wait. He told them, don't leave Jerusalem, not to go. Don't start your ministry yet. He was going to endue them with power from on high. Now, I'm sure in their waiting, I'm sure that the enemy was probably trying to get them discouraged. Because, you know, he good at that. He is so good at that. But in their waiting, they just continue to worship and praise God. And, you know, it's something that when you can praise and worship God, when you know that there are so many things that's going on all around you. You know, I admire people who may have lost a loved one. They may have lost them that week, and they still come to the house of the Lord. They still praising God. And they know that their loved one has gone on. You know, that says a lot for an individual and in their relationship with God. But as I said, they were obedient to God. And they remained in Jerusalem. And the counselor, and he was going to endue them with power on high. But as I had said before, a lot of times we do get discouraged in the time that we are waiting. So as they continued to worship him and praise him, then there came that sound from heaven. Can I hear that sound, minstrels? Hallelujah. It began to fill the house. I don't know about you, but I could see it in the spirit realm. I could see, and I could just imagine how it just filled the whole house. How the wind of God came in. Hallelujah. And how their language began to change. Hallelujah. How they began to speak in other tongues. How it was so strong and intense in there. And as the Bible said, it was cloven tongues. So you know that it was strong. And as I had said before, how when Pastor had talked about teaching about the motives of God, how it just really amazes me how he chose during the time to send his comforter, how it arrived at the festival. You know, and there was people there from all over. I mean, all over. You know, just like when people do come to the fair, they come from all over. People are camped out, you know, because they're waiting for something. I believe people was waiting. I believe they were camped out. I believe they were waiting for God. Because they stood on the promises of God. Hallelujah. Acts 2 and 7, it says, and they all were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They are amazed. How is it that these Galileans are speaking in our language? That just amazed them. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein that we were born? It says that they were represented from different nations. And in verse 11, it says, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So the people, they understood that they was praising God. But then there were some that were mocking them. You know, there's always got to be some haters in the bunch. I don't care where you go. I don't care how good things might be. There's going to be some haters. They're going to have something smart to say. So there was people that was mocking them, and they said, these men are full of new wine. You know, I was kind of wondering, well, what was wrong with the old wine? But they were full of new wine. But Peter, in 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. He says, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So the prophecy must go forth. God said it, and I believe it. Go to verse 21, and it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you got to do is call on his name today. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But it don't end there. It don't end there. There's more. Look at the person next to you and say, I want more. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's going to give you more today. You know, so many of our people, you know, First Lady last week, she preached about don't quit. But I believe the reason why a lot of people are quitting because they're not filled. A lot of people, they don't want to talk about the Holy Ghost. But you need the Holy Ghost. Because that Holy Ghost is going to keep you. That Holy Ghost is going to keep you when your husband walk out on you. That Holy Ghost is going to keep you. Single women, when you trying to live holy. And that slickeroo. That's what I call them, slickeroo. You know, they come around and they just whisper sweet nothings in your ear. You be trying to live holy. You be trying to tell them, I'm trying to live for God. I'm not the same that I used to be. And you know, and then they come up with a line, well, you know, Jesus is love. And if you love Jesus, you'll love me too. Yeah, but I'm like Beyonce, but if you love me, put a ring on it. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know your worth. I don't know why I'm going. I don't know why I'm going this way. That wasn't in my notes, Danielle. But I feel this is for somebody. You are queens. And you got to see yourself as a queen. Hallelujah. It don't matter how long you may have to wait. I'd rather wait and know that God has sent me the right man for me. It's worth the wait. Our dear Valerie is getting ready to get married in a few weeks. Never been married. Hallelujah. Valerie, you don't mind me saying your age, do you? Anyway, she in her 50s. I'll deal with you later. But look at her. Look how God has preserved her. Hallelujah. She had been praying. She had been believing God for God to send her somebody. You never know where God is going to send them. She was at a funeral working in the kitchen. Working in the kitchen. You know, we don't want to work in the kitchen no more. But she was working in the kitchen. And here come Mario. He was there for the funeral. But he didn't know it was a setup. I think he went to the kitchen just to get some more chicken or something. He said, my, my, who is that working in the kitchen? So ladies, get busy. You might need to get in that kitchen ministry. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, things happen in the kitchen. And now, here they are. After they done grieved, I don't think they grieved a whole lot that day. But on June the 9th, oh yes, it's going down. Ladies, I'm telling you that for a reason. All right, I done got off everything. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. It says, Peter and John, they were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, which was the ninth hour, and a certain man was being carried who was lame from birth. He was placed every day at that gate. Can you imagine every day going to the gate? He had to wait for somebody to bring him to the gate. I tell you, we are so blessed when we have the activities of our limb. But he would go there every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful so that he could ask for charitable gifts from those who were going into the temple courts. So when he saw Peter and John entering into the temple courts, he began asking to receive alms from them. But Peter looked intently at him. Together, Peter and John looked intently at him. They were on one accord. And they looked at the lame man and they said, "Look at us." So he fixed his attention on them. He began to look at them, expecting to receive alms from them, because that's what he was used to receiving. But Peter said, he said, "Silver and gold," he said, "have I none." He said, "But such as I have, I give to you." He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk." He took a hold of them, they said, by the right hand, and he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. You know, sometimes God just want to know, do you trust me? You know, he came there for something else, but he didn't know God had something for him. So God has given us the power and the authority to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, when you fill with the Holy Ghost, you have that power. He needs us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So in leaping up, he stood and he began to walk around as he entered into the temple courts. He was walking around. He was leaping and praising God. Can you imagine? Now, they've been seeing this man every day, couldn't walk. And here this same man comes in there praising God, standing on his feet, walking. So all the people saw him praising God, and they recognized who he was. They knew that he was the one who used to sit asking for alms at the beautiful gate. They were all filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. And while he was holding fast to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon. Utterly, they was astonished. They just could not believe what was happening. But, you know, Peter and John, you know, they said to the people, they said, men and Israelites, why are you astonished at this? Or why are you staring at us as if by our own power or goodness that we made this man walk? See, they recognized, they knew the power that was in them, but it was because of the Holy Spirit. So this is why we need the Holy Spirit, so we can lay hands on the sick too. They said, the God of Abraham, as of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our father, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate after he decided to release him. You know, they got a little upset about it, you know, because they're like, now Jesus, he was with you and you received him not. You know, when he comes knocking on our door, we are to receive him. So let's go back to Acts 19 and 1. Okay, where it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. But he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, I'm just kind of wondering who these disciples were, because they did not know. They had not heard anything. And he said unto them, what then were ye baptized? And they said, I was baptized under John's baptism. Then said Paul, John, verily, baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So you see, on two different occasions, it talks about, you know, how they took authority, how they took what God had given them, you know, because God had given them, had filled them with the Holy Spirit for that very reason, to do the works that Jesus was doing. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, it comes with benefits as well. It comes with benefits. Now, if I could get three people to come up on stage, I'm just going to ask you to come up. Bill, come on up. I see you getting ready. I can see you from here. Okay, and I need some women, too. I want my sister Carla to come up on stage because I have some gifts for you. Hallelujah.
All right.
See that? You see that? Y'all sitting around trying to decide whether you're going to come, and God, he raising up the young folks. I got some gifts for you. Now, the good thing about this, I want you all to just all stand together. The good thing about these gifts, they're all the same. God has no respect of persons. I'm giving you all the same gifts. You all have access to the same gift. But what you do with it is up to you. Now, in the Bible, it talks about that there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Okay? But as I was reading, it also showed that there were also 7 gifts. So, you know, I'm like, Lord, okay, which is it, God, you know, as I'm reading. But, you know, but I just believe in just getting all that I can get. So the one gift is wisdom, which is the greatest gift because it acts upon the intelligent and the will. And we all need wisdom because, you know, sometimes we make some bad decisions, you know, and once you make that bad decision, you know, then we pray and asking God, God, please help me. How am I going to get out of this? And then understanding, a perspective, intuition, which allows the mind to grasp the truth of faith. And then counsel, which is supernatural intuition to enable a person to judge promptly and rightly, especially in difficult situations. Then fortitude and might, which brings on courage and endurance, because you need courage, you need endurance, because you know so many people are giving up so quickly. Knowledge allows one to see things from God's perspective. Piety, which meaning devotion, holiness, godliness, saintliness, total reliance on God. And that comes before God with humility. And you know, in this day and time, you don't see a lot of holiness like you used to when I was coming up. You know, when I was coming up, it was either holiness or hell. It was no in between, Pastor Mike. It was no in between. And then fear of the Lord. With the gift of the fear of the Lord, one is made aware of the glory and the majesty of God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in that bag, each of you have each of that. Now, what you do with it is up to you. But then there's the 9 gifts of the Spirit: word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of prophecy, gift of faith, gift of healings, working of miracles, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. There is so much that God has in store for each of you. But now you just have to be willing to receive what God has for you. So today, I ask you the question, are you willing to receive what God has for you today? You can be seated. Thank you so much. But if you are willing to receive what God has for you today, then you have to have an open mind. You can't worry about what's going on around you. You just have to be willing to accept all the gifts that God has in store for you. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:1 that he has given some apostles. He's given some prophets. He's given some evangelists. He's given some pastors. He's given some teachers. But he needs each of us to be filled with his Holy Spirit in order to activate each of those gifts in this house. He wants to release everything that he has in store for us. So the Holy Spirit's role is to lead us to Jesus. It's to comfort us. It's to conform us to his image, which includes being filled with his power. And the work that Jesus sent his followers to do, it requires power. Mark 16:15-18, it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, speak with new tongues, and lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Yes, this is impossible. In your own strength, it's impossible. Yes, there are even some controversies about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, everyone, they don't believe in it. Everyone don't believe in tongues. Everyone don't believe in healing. Everyone don't believe in prophecy. But that doesn't mean that they're not real just because you don't believe in it. Maybe you just need a better understanding about it. But these things are valuable. They're valuable to the kingdom of God. God created these gifts. And even if some have twisted or abused or distorted them, maybe, God has a plan to see them used in integrity and in alignment with his will. But it's going to take us getting into that word. It's going to take us really seeking God. It's going to take us praying and going before God, you know, asking God to speak to us. It's going to take us fasting. It's going to take us, we're going to have to turn down that plate and ask to hear from God. So when you begin to do that, God is going to begin to fill you the more. So the disciples, they could never have done what they did without the Holy Spirit. And we should not attempt in our Christian walk apart from him either. It says the Lord will give hungry hearts the knowledge that they need to minister in the Holy Spirit's power, which can include, but is not limited to, healing power, evangelism, and words of knowledge. If the team would just come to the stage now. How many of you know that God is good? And every gift that he gives to those that ask, that he will give you the desires of your heart. Today, the Lord had showed me that he wanted to fill his people today with his spirit. So I just want the altar workers to just get ready. And I want to make three altar appeals. The first appeal is, you know that you are saved. You love God with all your heart. But you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know that you need it. And you desire to have it. If that's you, I just want you to stand now. I want everyone to stand, first of all. And if Pastor Mike, if you too would come up. Altar workers, are you getting in place? I need you in place. Lord, the second altar appeal is, you want to accept the Lord as your personal Savior today. And not only do you want to accept him as your personal Savior, but you want the whole package. You want everything that God has for you. Everything. And God can give it to you all in one day. You don't necessarily have to do like I did. I think probably about 2 months it took me to receive the Holy Ghost. But I believe it was already there. I just had to be willing to receive it. The gift was already there. Then the third altar appeal. You may have spoken tongues a while ago. You may have received the Holy Spirit a while ago. But it's been a while since you spoke again. You want to increase your prayer language. You want to increase your prayer life. If that's you, we want you to come down as well. And I want the team to just begin to sing. Hallelujah. As Pastor Mike, if you would come. And if you would.
Not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God, send Spirit, God, not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God, send your Spirit, God. So you are the fire, we are the temple,
we are the temple,
you are the voice.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 Hear me, people of God. Because it's not God's desire that any should leave here without receiving the very thing to which he has present here in this moment. In this moment, I remember growing up. I remember that everything that my natural father gave me passed away. Everything that my father gave me from my youth even until now, it all passed away. But this thing is not a natural thing. It is a spiritual thing. This gift God desires to give you is an eternal gift that lasts from eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, that you might walk and flow and in unity with him. So if you're hearing me, understand that if you have a husband, if you are married, I need the two to come together. If your spouse is with you right now, I need the two together. Because there's so much power inside of a marriage. But how can that power flow if it gets choked up because of disunity? Because there is discord. God desires to move. God desires to revive. We've waited, we've cried, and we say, Lord, give it to us. We want revival, but we have to come to him even in one mind and in one accord that we might see and that we might hear. Because God desires to do it. God desires to do it. Hallelujah. One mind, one accord. One mind, one accord. If you're here right now, we're going to be in one mind and one accord. One mind and one accord that we might see the fulfillment of his word. Everybody here, I need you to reach out and touch somebody. The Bible says that if two should agree in the earth, if two should touch and agree in the earth concerning anything, it shall be done by your Father who is in heaven. Touch somebody and see. Touch somebody and see. Watch God do it. Don't look. You might be filled with the Spirit. Even have to give God what you owe him, because he's good. He is El Elyon. He is the Most High God. There is none like him. There is none greater. There was none before him, and there shall be none after him. He said, to whom shall you compare me, and who is my equal? I want you to lift your hands. See, every time I lift my hands in worship, I see myself as that child that's reaching up to his father. Said, Lord, pick me up. Sometimes I just need to be near you. I need to be close to you. Sometimes it's not even anything all that crazy going on. I'm just a son who desires to be held by his father, that I might feel him, that I might hear his heartbeat. It's a sign of total surrender. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I come before you as your servant, as your friend, as your son. And Father, everyone to which who has come to this altar, Father, Father, cause them to see and know that you have indeed saw, you've heard, and you've already answered. Father, give them the courage and the boldness to believe, even when the enemy comes to try to snatch away the very thing that you've given this day. Father, that they will rebuke the enemy, Father, in the name of Jesus, and say, not so, this is mine. Not so, this is mine. Father, may the unity within families, within husbands, and within wives, brothers and sisters, Father, may it increase within the body of Christ, Father. Because it's written in your word that you commanded the blessings there. Father, Father, I bless each and every one that's come to you. Father, even those who are stood without, Father, yet believe, Father, that they receive the very thing to which you have given them this day. Father, may they begin to just walk in it, Father, for it is their faith as they go. And may your spirit give them courage, Father, to do the very thing, the very purpose to which you set before them, that they might walk in their purpose and in their destiny. Father, I come against everything, Father, in every home and in every life that's in this place, and even those who will hear later. Father, I come against everything that is not of you, alike you. I come against every principality, every power, every ruler of the darkness of this age, every spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Hallelujah. I bind them all in the name of Jesus Christ, and I cast from each and every individual, each and every home, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, as far as the east is from the west, and Father, even as that creates a void, may your presence, your power, and your anointing fall within them. Father, in the name of Jesus, Moses said, oh, the I believe. Say that with me. Say, Father, I believe.
I believe.
Say that one more time. Father,
Father,
I believe.
I believe.
Now hear this one last time. I want you to say, Abba.
Abba.
I believe. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your servant. Father, we honor her. And we bless her in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the work to which you called her to work in this moment and in this hour, Father. And even as she's seen your hand, she's seen your face, Father. Father, blow her mind in the days to come with the very anointing, the very purpose that you set before. Father, that even in, at this point, she's begun to walk in her destiny, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Somebody give God some praise.
Thank you. Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Well, listen, I want to bless you. Believe. Believe the word of God. Believe the word of God over the very thing that you see in the natural. Believe. I've believed for a very long time. That even as is written in the word of God, that as for me and my house, I have that in my living room on my wall, as for me and my house. I didn't have to twitch my children's arms. I didn't have to just force them into Bible studies with me each night. I just had to present them Jesus Christ. And they had to see it walked out in their father and in their mother. God says that with loving kindness have I drawn you. Yes. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name in all the earth. I bless your bodies. I bless the vessels that of service to the Most High that you are. May you be so blessed and full of strength and vigor that it reminds you, if you're a seasoned person, of being in your youth. And even those who are in their youth, may they run with ever more excitement that you're so overwhelmingly blessed. I bless your homes, your finances. I bless your jobs. I bless your relationships without and your relationships within. I bless everything that is God intended for your very purpose. May you be so excited, full of life and love and blessing, that you do what?
Give it away.
Give it away before you leave today.